The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Live Off the Record with Chivago Lang is sponsored by Burger King, the Progressive Liberal Party, Royal Fidelity Bank and Trust, Royal Star Assurance, and the Free National Movement.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all you have Vago Sean Lang. Welcome to Z Live, ladies and gentlemen. So glad you could join us on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. And I have a lot to be thankful for. Today I turn 54 years old. 54 years he's kept me through many dangers, toils, and snares. I've had lots of great times, some bad times. I've had some easy times. I've had some difficult times. I've had some failings. I've had some successes. I've had some frustrations, and I've had some fabulous times. But through it all, thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. Spoke to my mom today. Spoke to my wife today. Spoke to my kids today. Spoke to my friends and some family today, heard from them, and I'm thankful, I'm grateful. I mean, I feel better today than I felt birthday, better physically, better mentally, better spiritually. I'm just thankful, and I'm happy to be here today. Thank you for joining us here on Z Live. So glad you could join us. If you want to be on the show, the numbers to do so are as follow. You can call us on 323-6232. That's 323-6232. Or you can call us on 325-4316. 325-4316. Or you can call us on 325-4259. 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. So you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. 439-3043. Birthday to Candia Dibbs. Yeah. Here at the Guardian. She celebrated yesterday. I always knew we were close. I wasn't quite sure if she was on the same day as me or after me. But happy belated birthday, Candia Dames, and Father Sebastian Campbell. Happy birthday. He and I share this day together. Sheen Gibson, also, happy birthday to you. I most believe Sheen is on the same day. Reverend Jonathan Carey, also on the same day. And all of you celebrating your birthday on or near this day. My late sister, Vernie, Johnson would also have celebrated this month, and my late brother or eldest brother and eldest sister would have celebrated their birthdays this month. My daughter will celebrate 26th of this month. So lots of people in September I know who will be celebrating. So I'm happy today. I'm happy. I'm elated. I'm to all my sang up some of my songs of thanksgiving and praise, and I'm happy. Listen, if that ain't your speed, you don't do the religious thing, that's all right. I can't help that. I do what I do. I am grateful to God for the life he's given to me. I think we have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hey, listen, I want to convey happy birthday to somebody I think I might know. And I want to convey happy birthday to Chicago Line.
Oh, look at my good cousin calling me on this day. But Adrian, what you saying, my brother?
I want to convey happy birthday. You know, when you get old, you got to hurry up and put these things in.
Yeah. Well, you know, I feel bad, but I just accept these gray hairs with honor.
I want to thank God for that. I found your calls from A to Z, from Adrian to Chicago. And I just want you to know how much I love you. It's very rare that I get to call these shows, but only show I call is probably yours at this stage of my life. I know you're getting older. I've seen the wisdom. I've seen the maturity that God is actually blessing you. And I just want you to know, I think you've been a leader in our family for a very long time. And I want to thank
as have you, my friend. As of you. Thank you so very much. I appreciate
it. I'm a September baby, but I'm the better part of them, the later part of them, when I'm the 27th.
Yeah, you were right after Zaria, one day after Zaria?
That's right. Zaria and I spent very day together.
Okay. All right. Well, you and Zaria and Jamal will be celebrating because Jamal graduates on September 25th. Zaria's going down to 26th, and yours is on the
27th. Listen, man, from my team to you, I mean, you know, we've been at this for a very long time in terms of our lives. And so my teenagers growing up, 54 and 55. I turned 55 this year, you turned 54.
Let's put it out there, man. You all see this gentleman calling me here? This my cousin, like my cousin brother. Look, let me tell you all something. We have spent some time together. I appreciate you, Adrian.
I love you, man. Listen, enjoy your birthday, and I thank God for you. I thank God for your mom. I thank God for our family. But God, that's right.
Thank you, my brother. I appreciate it. Thank you very much. Yeah, beautiful. I great day today, and I thank all of you. I have heard from so many. Adrian's mother, Aunt Dolores, texted me earlier today, and as she does regularly, even not on my birthday, I thank her. My mom called me, and it's just special, you know. And when you get a little older, you get a little more sentimental about these things. But I'm grateful. I'm grateful. My son, my daughter, my sons and my daughter on Facebook, people, thank you. I appreciate it. I really do. I thank you very much. I don't take it for granted at all. I thank you for all the genuine and authentic greetings. I appreciate it very much. So let me clarify something here. Today I heard Brother Warren make note of it. This voicemail circulating, PLP ad circulating with my voice. I don't apologize for the things I said because what I said was true. But what I found interesting was I found out that there are some FNMs who are offended by that. And some of them who actually believe that I cut some ad for the Progressive Liberal Party in relation to that, who do not know that I had spoken when nobody else was talking about elections per se, when I was actually sooner rather than later, and people were challenging me on that. I was talking in the context of a number of things and then spoke about the fact that, you know, don't underestimate, and that those words came out. So now PLP is using it as an ad, but there are some FNMs who are asking whether or not I was paid by the PLP. I mean, I couldn't find anything more offensive than that nonsense and stupidity in my life. In my life. I wasn't paid to run for the FNM. I definitely am not going to be paid to speak for the PLP, the FNM, the DNA, or anybody else. But it just goes to show you, you know, I just would rack and jack. Anybody paid me to do nothing. But, you know, PLP, listen, if you're putting that ad out there and you think it has any currency and you can get any benefits from it, at least pay the Guardian. You know, I know you all put the ad on. It is the Guardian's material, you know. You know, I can't use this material on this show without the Guardian's permission. Like, I can't just go and say, I'm going to sell off these shows and so forth. I can't do that. At least pay the Guardian, you know. Maybe they may give me a little bonus from it. Anyways. So I promised you all yesterday that I would begin today evaluating the leadership of the major political parties. Now, let me help you understand something when I say major political parties. In my mind, a major political party is one that has representation in the House of Assembly and or has received at least 10% of the popular vote in the last election. Okay, now, I got to see if party leaders who are not now in that category say to me, Mr. Lang, can I come on and us? Even though, quite frankly, I don't know them that well. I've not had opportunity, nor have we, to see them in display. And I think that would be unfair to them. But if they wish to come on and to discuss their party's efforts, et cetera, the Guardian has some guidelines for that. And so they can contact the Guardian and do just that. I also want to point something out, that I was approached by the Progressive Liberal Party about doing a one-on-one interview with the leadership of the party. And there's nothing wrong with that. They have the right to initiate any effort that they deem appropriate to helping their cause, getting their message out. To them that, given that I am the executive director of the Government and Public Policy Institute, I could not agree to do any such thing, saving and except I extend the Public Policy Institute the same opportunity to the other major political party defined in the letter, or defined as I just defined it. And so they understood that, and I subsequently agreed that approach with the university's leadership for whom I work, and set out letters to both the Prime Minister of the Bahamas, Dr. Hubert Alexander Minnis, and to the leader of the Progressive Liberal Party, Mr. Philip Britt Davis. The letter indicated that this one-on-one interview would be conducted by me with questions pre-arranged for them, and that we would agree on the time and timing of both the recording, because it was going to be pre-recorded, and the actual airing of these one-on-ones. That name would be we gotten through sponsorship of the airings and contributions from the parties on the airing of their leaders' interview on that given day. They have 48 hours with which to respond because time is of the essence. You have to do these things properly. You have to organize and plan, especially in the context of the do it. We have to do it in a manner that is befitting the university and in accordance with protocols that demonstrates propriety and independence and unbiased, any unbiasedness. Within the 48 hours, I heard from the Prime Minister's office and they declined given due to his schedule. And I subsequently heard within the 40, maybe a little more than 48 hours from the leader of the Progressive Liberal Party, Mr. Davis himself, who said he would get back to me. I have not yet heard back. So I did speak with an agent who indicated they are trying to see how the scheduling can accommodate the singing. So what will happen, I do not know. I do believe it is unfortunate, actually, that these major political party leaders seize an opportunity quite like that in the context of their primary tertiary institution, seeking to do what is a planned, pre-recorded, prepared questioning for airing to the public. But, you know, that's a choice that each has to make in their own interest. And I understand that entirely. So we move on. So I promised that I would begin an evaluation of the leadership of the two, in particular, major political parties. And I am going to do that. And I indicated that I would begin that evaluation with the leader of the Free National Movement. I do not apologize for anything I am going to put out as has been thoughtfully considered. And I want to note a couple of things here. Because some of you have your own preferences, your own biases, just as I have mine. But it is not for me to smooth off or smooth over, satisfy your biases in doing what I'm doing. I have no such interest. Your biases are your own. You have to live with them. I have to live with mine. But I have tried to put my biases aside in order to conduct this exercise that I think is important to the deliberations we are going to have leading up to the next election. This is a talk show. I'm the host. This is in this capacity right here. I'm very much opinionated. These are judgments I am making. The studio gave its disclaimer. This is me. These are my thoughts. Okay. In this evaluation, I'm evaluating the leader, not whether you think the country is going in the right direction, not whether you think they've done a great and super and fantastic job. I'm evaluating their leadership skills on a number of criteria that I have studied, that I teach, that I train in terms of leadership. Whether you agree with me or not, that is on you. I do this training, my understanding, my experience of leadership. And it's about their leadership, not whether the country is super fantastic going terribly. It's not about whether there's employment or no employment. That's not what's being evaluated. It's the leadership skills of the individual. And I can only, for the benefit of this, assess observable things that can be seen. I am not going to question a man's motive. I can't know what is in Mr. Davis's heart or head. So I can't question whether they did something for genuine reasons or lack of genuine reasons. That's an entirely subjective something that somebody who wishes to do that can do. I am dealing with observable things. Observable. So here is what's going to happen. I have prepared a matrix. And that matrix lists out a set of skills, leadership skills, the description of those skills, a score that I believe the individual will get for that, and comments as to why I believe that particular score is befitting. Now, my scale for the scorings is as follows. Between 1 and 4, if you get a score between from 1 to 4, it means you demonstrate limited capacity in the area, meaning that you do not show any real strength in that area. If you get a score of 5 to 8, it means that you demonstrate reasonably good capacity in that area. So 5 would be, well, you got there, but not so much. 8 would mean you really show good capacity. And 8 to 10 means you demonstrate strong capacity in that area. Okay, that's the scale. So 1 is at the lowest end of the scale. 10 is at the highest end of the scale. What are the, maybe producer, before I get into the skills, we should take that first break so we could pay our respects to our sponsors and then come back. You're listening to Z Live on Trivago Line, your host. We'll be back after this break. Take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand.
Marsh the car. The lady run into me, marsh the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull out the Royal Star Assurance. She was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
Hospitals, doctors say our healthcare system is past the breaking point. Nurses disrespected. Not enough beds or resources. Now, this government failed to disclose who's really benefiting from millions in COVID contracts, hiding who profits from travel visas, from food assistance, from COVID testing fees. So while healthcare collapsed, who got rich? The FNM can't fix the crisis. They are the crisis.
This has been a paid political announcement by the PLP.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Trivago Line, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon, September 7th. So glad that you could join us today. If you want to give us a call at all, the numbers to do so are as follow. You can call us on 323-6232, 323-6232, or 325-4316, 325-4316, or 325-4259, 325-559. You can also text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. So you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We are evaluating today the leadership skills of Dr. Hubert Alexander Minnis, the leader of the movement. And as I indicated, the scaling to score in each skill area is 1 to 10, 1 being the least, being the lowest, and 10 being the highest score. So the total you can get, there are 10, 10 skill sets that I'm scoring for each leader. And so the total you can get is 100 points. So these are the skills. First, vision, and direction. Leader of an organization, every leader of a country must be able to craft, alone or with others, and project the end or the course they are working toward. They have to, as Monroe, the late said, you have to be able to define the end from the beginning. Vision is like you go into the future, some future time. You paint a picture of what you want that time to look like when you had finished doing your work. And then you bring that picture back into your present, the vision. So it's like that artistic rendering of the house, the drawings of the house. They all represent the vision for a future house. It hasn't been built yet, but if you cast that vision so that they get to know where we're going. So it's directional. Leadership sets direction. And so how do I assess Dr. Minnis's ability to vision and direction set? I give him a score of 7. That means he demonstrates reasonable capacity to envision and set direction. Why? It's hard to read the manifestos of the Free National Movement under the leadership of Dr. Minnis. It's hard to listen to his national addresses. It's hard to see him talk about the over the hill and what he would like to do for those areas. It's not a question of whether he achieves these things, but he describes what he's seeking to do, the things he sought to do in entrepreneurship, et cetera, and say he has no visionary ability or no direction-setting ability. So you might have whatever thoughts you have. From my point of view, he gets a 7 for that on visioning, direction, setting. Secondly, every leader has to be able to communicate, because it makes no sense to have a vision or direction and be unable to defend that, to debate that with others, okay? And in addition, you have to be able to listen, because a part of your vision crafting and direction setting is to be able to listen as they input into what it is you're seeking to do to gain more refinement of what you're seeking to do. So every leader has to have communication skills. Then score Dr. Minnis on communication skills. I give him a 5. I give him a 5, which means he demonstrates reasonable capacity at communication, but it's on the lower end. Why? Anyone who looks at his handling of the media has been able to observe him in debates. Anybody who has been able to watch him in speech giving, in one-on-ones, would tell that this is a weakness he has. It's not his strength. He is better when delivering prepared text, and I have to concede that he has gotten better over time. Quite frankly, in terms of speaking, Hubert Alexander Ingram, if you listen to him in his earliest days in 1992, compared to how he articulates now in the Times in his later days in office, he got much better as well. But he was always a strong speaker, mind you, but he got better. Dr. Minnis remains a speaker who is not, who's challenged, but he has gotten better. But I score him out of 5 on communication. Every leader, third skill, has to be able to strategize and plan. And what is strategizing and planning? Planning is the ability to adopt a set of decisions, organize resources, and mobilize people to accomplish for which those decisions are intending to accomplish. And that strategy, when people talk to you about strategy, what they're saying is, what are the critical set of decisions that you believe have to be made in order to achieve victory in an area? And then you have to plan around that, those decisions, with resources, manpower, financial and other resources in order to execute the decisions that you have made. What is Dr. Minnis's ability from a strategizing and planning point of view? I give him a 5 on that. Now, there was an inclination to give him a 6 or higher, but here's what happened. There were too many instances in which, on the one hand, signs of good strategizing showed up, And then they were undermined by succeeding efforts. For instance, the early days of the pandemic, if that had followed through into the pandemic to date, Dr. Ministers would have been, and he would have been perceived as a brilliant strategizer and executor of things. But that did not happen. The early days were undermined by a great deal of political decision makings that undermined, to my mind, what we got, the results we got in the pandemic. When you look at the scholarship opportunities, crime, and entrepreneurship, that shows signs of good planning and strategizing there. But then you look at Dorian and how that has been handled. And again, as I said, the pandemic in the later days, they showed a tremendous ineffective strategizing and planning to me. And you look at Oban and the legislative agenda, the extent to which the stated legislative agenda of the government was so set aside by embracing legislative initiatives of the former administration or not embracing those at all. To me, that's poor strategizing and planning. And that brought the score down to 5. The fourth skill set a leader has to have is a leader has to be able to make decisions, has to have good decision-making skills. And decision-making is about your ability to weigh important facts toward making the best choice among competing alternatives, okay? The pros, the cons, you have to look at what are my priorities, what are my criteria in decision-making, and how I organize all of those thoughts around deciding that A is a better decision than B, and B might be a better decision than C, but A is a better decision than C, and I'm gonna pick and go with A. What do I believe to be Dr. Minnis's score in that regard? I give him a 5. Here again, moments of brilliance in terms of decision-making were demonstrated. The early days of the pandemic might be one of them. I believe even in the campaigning, the way Dr. Minnis managed himself, because one of the things that he demonstrates is he is not so arrogant, not so arrogant on this call, as to think I'm a brilliant speaker. So I'm going to go there and just keep speaking. He didn't do that. He kind of said, you know what, that's not my strong suit. In fact, he said it. People want people who do, not say. And so he didn't emphasize that heavily in his own undertakings. That's good decision-making. But then you look at Oban, the handling of Oban, you look at the way he dealt with McElpine and Vaughn Miller and those kinds of things, and the way he handled the later days of the pandemic and Lanishino, and all of those things to me and more brought the score down to 5. A leader has to also have, as a fifth skill, problem-solving skills. Now, problem-solving is the ability to resolve issues that are unwelcome or harmful. So your ability to resolve issues that are unwelcome or harmful. Now, in this area, I give him a 6. Why? Because if you look at the handling of crime, obviously, the decision-making toward leadership and the like produce results for the country. And this is pre-pandemic, okay? If you look at the dump, it's been resolved. Wasn't resolved under a number of administrations. If you looked at the early days of the pandemic, there was good problem-solving demonstrated. What brought it down, though? Again, the later days of the pandemic, the handling of Dorian, the ease of doing business, lack of progress in that area, these things to me suggest less problem solving than could have been. And so here the score is a 6 for me. The sixth skill you have to have is conflict resolution. That is, you have to have the ability to resolve differences among competing parties on your team. You have to have the ability to negotiate successfully outcomes of competing parties that you have to deal with. And so, and so this conflict resolution and unification, unifying skills are important in leadership. And here is where I give Dr. Minnis the lowest score. He gets a 4 here. Why? Because it's hard to look at people like Sands, Lanisha Rowe, the Speaker of the House of Assembly, Vaughn Miller, Markle Pine, Reese Chipman, et cetera, and some things of which I am aware that I am not prepared to articulate here, that just says to me that there is weakness there, that there the ability to look at these issues and deal with them in ways where the outcome isn't as ugly as it has come to be, tells me there's weakness there. Because the Dr. Sands issue, the Lanisha Rowe issue, all of them much differently. Even if you look at Vaughn Miller and Markle Pine and those in the early days, right? When those had a conscience issue related to voting for the party. Surely there was an opportunity to negotiate an outcome that didn't pit them against the party in such a significant way. These gentlemen worked for the government. And you can always find business abroad for people to do when they are challenged to do things in the House of Assembly, because they could do both do the country's business and avoid doing some things. So there are definitely ways to get around those things. And I thought that those handlings demonstrated a significant failure in conflict resolution and unification. If you look at the Free National Movement as a party today, anybody who knows the party will know that the party is less unified than ever, less unified today. And nothing demonstrates that more than the posture of any number of its significant from the past. And so that speaks to a unifying problem, as far as I can observe. The seventh skill that a leader has to have is interpersonal and diplomatic skills. That is, you have to have to manage relationship with others productively and peacefully as much as you are able. Okay? And on this score, he gets a 5. Because when you look again at the handling of the media, too many failures in diplomacy dealing with the media. When you look at the supporters who are not deemed loyal to himself, too many instances they weren't given any real hearing because they were regarded as outsiders. And I don't want people to underestimate the extent to which, you know, when you're moving around and you are listening to FNM supporters now, FNM supporters, who start to put people in categories? Oh, that's, mind you, his people or their people, and these are all FNMs, you know. That's not a good sign of interpersonal skills or diplomatic skills. But in international circles, you know, and in public, many public is counterparts and others. And so here he gets a 5 for me. Then another skill that leaders have to have is ethics. They have to have ethics. They have to have a moral code that guides their private and public performance. Now, I can't judge. We can't judge the private performance. But we can judge how you handle your public affairs and how you deal with them from a moral point of view. That is avoiding breaches in law and breaches in ethics and breaches in, you know, what you may have articulated as personal convictions. And here Dr. Minnis gets a 7. Why does he get a 7? Because really, I have not observed. You know, I can't go with what people rumorize and say about this and that. I can't do that. So I've seen overtly, I have not seen any significant ethical breaches by the Prime Minister, by Dr. Minnis himself in public life. A better score than 7 is because when you look at the hard line taken against corruption, coming to office, corruption, mind you, because they can't be corruption until they are proven in a court. But when you look at the hard line, you know, about the claims of corruption, when you look at the attendance of international meetings and the heralding of the effort to fight against corruption, and then you have issues of allegations of corruption that arises in your ranks, If you don't effectively, robustly handle that, you can't get a better score, because there may be some failing in conviction on that regard. So he gets a 7 there. Leaders have to have good work ethic, good work ethic, meaning they have to show discipline and hard work. I can only tell you what I have observed and what I know. And here he gets a score of 8 because my understanding of the time, the things that he attends himself to, he does go after rigorously, and he's energized toward that end. And so I have no other reason to give him less than an 8 on that score. I don't give him a perfect because, again, there's things I don't know in that regard. And, you know, and then finally, these are the only skills leaders have to have, but these are my 10. These are the ones that I have discerned and for public life that are required. And then there has to be flexibility and adaptability. And that is the ability to adjust oneself when circumstances and conditions change. You have to have the ability to adjust oneself when circumstances and conditions change. And here I give them a score of 6. Why? Because in the COVID-19 handling, you saw some opportunity, you saw some occasion for responding to people's complaints or agitation, et cetera. You saw some adjustments there. But the reason why the score isn't higher is because sometimes they took too long in coming when they could have been looked at more carefully earlier and quicker. And in some instances, there's no change. There was a stubbornness. Like, for instance, there was a willingness to listen to people cry out and say, you really think coming to office, you could talk about raising MP salary? You're putting people on notice for that. And you didn't hear anything else from it from then. But people have been saying, you said you were going to limit terms of the prime minister. You were going to set up an ombudsman and all that. And nothing, no response, nothing done. Being now at election time and nothing, right? And so you get a 6 there. So the overall then that I give Dr. Minnis in terms of his leadership evaluation by Zhivago Sean Lang, me personally, my judgment, is a 58 out of 100. 58 out of 100. I'm not comparing him to anybody else. I'm not comparing, looking at anybody else. This is what, on his own merit, I grant him. And now, quite frankly, there could be a plus, minus, 2, 3 in either direction with regard to Sam that somebody might give. So he could hover anywhere from me from between 61 and 55, but this is the area that I would cast the good doctor and prime minister of the country, my evaluation. Somebody says you're being quite generous. No, maybe in your mind that's so, but I actually went over this over again and I searched my heart. And no, I'm not being generous. I'm being as fair as I think I can be. That's what I'm being, as fair as I can be. Producer, we walked through the break. You wanna, let's just go to the news break, or what do you wanna do? Because we got some more things to say about this. We got lots of texts, people going through. Let me tell you something again. Anytime you're doing evaluations, you can expect agreement, disagreement, depending on who the person is. That's why your evaluation is your own. And you've got to know your own self, your own heart, your own beliefs, your own convictions, and you just make the judgments you make, right? I have no doubt that there are FNNs who will be very harsh with me about that. And then there are some who will say, okay. We got a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We'll be listening to you. Bye.
Hello?
Yes, hi. How you doing?
All right, sir. I'm okay. Mr. Lang, I have two concerns about.
Okay.
You once served under the previous administration as a minister.
Yes.
I've been voting from 1972.
Yes.
And I've seen there's some values that I'm seeing now that I am very much concerned about.
Hmm.
The one value that I'm concerned, it seems like we have, as a nation, have made politics our first religion. I'm very much concerned about that. The second concern, that's my view from a moral point. The next view that I'm concerned about, sir, is this spirit of entitlement rather than good policy. It seems like we have this attitude now, has become so low and so gullible. One person, I think they were campaigning and saying that they can give each Bahamian a 100. I believe that message of one sending in our country is in poor taste, and I think it's not should be coming of a person who want to become a leader and that of entitlement. Now, the policies, I don't know if the if this can be done, but I really would like to see one policy be in form, if it can be, the spirit of recall, the policies of recall. If there's enough evidence on a candidate that collect $100,000 a year, and he is not given account how this money is spent, please, I would like to know if there's a policy, if he can be recalled, because
that's an easy one. There is not now. There's no such policy. There's no such law in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas.
Can it be done?
Yeah, the Parliament of the Bahamas can pass any law it wishes, saving a law that contradicts the Constitution. Yes, you can have a recall law in the Bahamas if you wish. That's possible. All the Parliament has to do is pass law. The question is, pass a law that doesn't offend the Constitution, or must it amend the Constitution in order to do so? Because you can't pass a recall law when the Constitution tells you the only way that a member of Parliament can demit office is on resignation or blah, 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 blah. So you'd have to add to the Constitution, in my mind, perhaps, in order to have recall law.
Okay, Mr. Thanks very much. But I am very mixed up. I don't understand on how the 100,000 that a candidate get each year. And it seems to me that both sides seems like now they cannot give an account for how this money is spent. I'll hang up and listen to you.
I got you, brother. Thank you very much. We got some text. Yes, it's good afternoon, Mr. Lang. Can you send a belated birthday shout out to Siobhan Hepburn, who celebrated on 1st of September. She's now 41 years old. Thank you. Okay, Siobhan, there you go. A happy and blessed birthday to you, sir. Thank you very much. This text says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. Happy birthday to you, sir. May the good Lord grant you many more years and good health, and the wealth will follow. Good God bless you. Enjoy your special day. Thank you very much. This text says, Mr. Lang, valuable commentary today. Thank you. This says, Professor Lang, I must admit you have been fair to Minnis. I believe he should get a 73%, 68% is not bad, it's a pass. This text says, good afternoon, Z, good assessment, which equals to a C rating, getting just over 50%. Good job. Well, there you go. Like I said, some will agree, some will not agree. At the end of the day, all I can do is make the judgment I make. I'm not looking for an award for anything for this. Woo! Leadership evaluation today. We're going to continue our discussion. I'd like to get your views, what you think, what your thoughts are. Tomorrow, Philip Ray Davis will be evaluated. And so I'd like you to weigh in. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break for news. We'll be back after this break.
Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon, where we have began our leadership evaluation with Dr. Hubert Alexander Minnis, our Prime Minister. And I'm sure you'll have some thoughts on it. I'm happy to hear your phone call. The numbers are 323-6232, 323-6232, or 325-4316, or 325-4259. And you can text us at 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me at 439-3043. Now, I will tell you, having done this evaluation myself, it would be interesting to see if I put a team of persons I had in terms of leadership and asked them to give me an evaluation. In fact, I'm going to try and do that. I'm going to try to get them to score and see what they might come up with. As a, you know, we just take their individual scores and average them out and see what they come up with. Two would be interesting because at the end of the day, these are all judgments. These are all really judgments. No one can perfectly objective. At the end of the day, all you're doing is searching your own mind and heart and observational skills and what have you, and making a judgment. And that's reality. The key is to not get your emotions involved. That's the key. You know, you want to be careful of that. It may be unavoidable, but you have to have, if this was a truly scientific assessment, the rigors of a objective, measurable set of criteria would have to be established. So you would have to be able, and as I tried to do in the comment section and observing performance on these things and that thing and the next thing, but it's again, all these evaluations are just human constructs that are going to be imperfect and can only reflect to your mind the best judgment you make. And on that score, I scored him a 58 out of 100. Now, how you look at this depends on how you look at this. Most people, if they were at work and they got scored a 58 out of 100, would be upset. They would think that's subpar. If your son came home with a test and you had a 58 out of 100, you'd say, oh my God, that's terrible. That's 58%, right? But if you had a 58% score, a percentage, shooting percentage in the NBA, you're an excellent shooter. Not your free throw. Your field shooting, you'd be an excellent free throw. If you had a 58% batting average in the major league baseball, you'd have an excellent batting average. Right? Why? Because those averages reflect an observation of the difficulty of achieving better averages life of a sport. So over the life of a sport, you ask how many people can bat over 500, and the answer is not many. In the life of basketball, how many people can shoot over 50% from the field? And not many. So based on the degree of difficulty, the score tends to be evaluated similarly. How difficult is leadership? How many leaders of the country would register a score higher than 58% that I just outlined? Well, we've only had four prime ministers to date: Sir Lyndon Binley, Hubert Alexander Ingram, Perry Christie, Dr. Hubert Minnis. Now, I did an evaluation of both Sir Lyndon and Mr. Ingram on similar issues, and both scored better than 70%, both. Mr. Christie was in the lower to mid 60s, okay? So if you're asking about the strength of our past leaders versus this, you might look at this as, well, it's not a very strong score. You know what I mean? Now, if you emotionally get involved and say, "Boy, look at all the crap, stupidness, nonsense in the country," a lot of times based on really what? Really just maybe a scanted view of the negative or a scanted view of the positives, then you might have a different set of, it's all subjective, even mine is subjective, right? But there are those who might take comfort in that it's not a below 50. And yeah, because, you know, leadership is challenging. There's no question about it. But there are those who might say 58 is not a good one. And so, again, it depends on who you are. It depends on who you ask. So that's a debate I'm happy to continue to be a part of. Stex says, "Good day. Great job, Mr. Lang. Great job. I would give Prime Minister a 70. He had an unusual season as a leader." Yes, you know, but the thing about it is a lot of you, and even the Prime Minister and those, say that the times that they were in was the most difficult. But in point of fact, your circumstances, the difficulty of your circumstances, don't really impact your leadership skill display as much as it challenges the ability of those skills to get a certain result. Okay. You can't measure leadership entirely by results, because if you did that, you would have to say that God is a failure. God had a vision for man and mankind. God had a vision for how we should behave and conduct ourselves. Did that come about? With all his power and all his might, with all his wisdom, with all his love, with all his compassion, did that come about? No. Why? Because the results of leadership depend on factors beyond your control. In the instance of God, he can't control human will. He won't control human will. So we get to choose what we do. And that has consequences for the results. In the case of the management of a country, you can't control a hurricane. You can't control a pandemic. But does the pandemic matter to your visioning and direction setting? Does the pandemic or Dorian or the hurricane matter to your... Does the pandemic or Dorian matter to your ability to strategize and plan in Dorian and the pandemic? Does it matter to your decision-making, your problem-solving, your conflict resolution and unifying? Does the pandemic or Dorian impact your ability to be diplomatic and to show good and strong? Does the pandemic alter your ethics? Really? How, because of the pandemic, because of Dorian, my moral code has changed? Does the pandemic ethic, or does it make me show it even more? Does the pandemic affect my flexibility and adaptability? In fact, it would demonstrate even more my flexibility and adaptability. So those people who make the argument that Dorian and the pandemic affected that score, they miss leadership altogether. Because some of the people regarded as the weakest in leadership went up in their leadership because of what they did in the midst of a crisis. For instance, George Bush Jr. in under 9/11 showed a tremendous leadership skill. Harry Truman was not a leader before he became president, but in the circumstance, became an excellent leader. Winston Churchill was not regarded as a good peacetime leader, but in war, he demonstrated enormous capacity and got scored highly. So no. When we talk about leadership skills, they are your own. They are reflected in good and bad times. And in bad times, they are especially called upon and can be exploited and can propel you to significant favor in the eyes of people because of your demonstrated skills. Hubert Alexander Ingraham became prime minister in 1992. Shortly thereafter, Hurricane, was it David? One of the hurricanes hit. Andrew, was it? I think Hurricane Andrew. And the way he mobilized and made decisions and what have you made people admire him even more. Even the people who didn't really care for or think he would do much when he became prime minister. So again, you can say to me some results the country has economically and socially and otherwise have been affected by Dorian, the pandemic. But you can't tell me that a person's leadership skills have been affected by that. You cannot. I'm sorry. I can't take that, accept that argument. Okay, this text says, my brother, you ain't want to ask me. Now, you could say, don't get emotions involved. Yes, that's what I'm saying. And you have to score it on your own emotions, not mine. You have to score it on your own evaluation, not mine. This text says, great show as usual. Happy birthday. Or 58 is an honest grade, but far from a good grade, no matter how you pretty it up. I agree with you 100%. There are lots of people who would not regard that as a good score. So good afternoon, Mr. Lang. Our PM is batting over 500. Not bad, but not good. Running a country is very difficult. God bless our PM. There you go. There you go. All right. Let's see if we have some more text here. This text says, good day, sir. Is there an online link to your leadership evaluation criteria, or you can email them to... Sure, I can email it to you. It says, amen, 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 preach. Very often when we preach in, it's only for because you agree with me on this occasion. And then when you don't agree with me, you don't want me to preach. Why wouldn't you want me to preach if you don't agree with me? Listen, I want to put some things in context both for Dr. Minnis and for Mr. Davis and all the others who have and who look to serve at the national level in leadership. It's hard. Not forget the pandemic. Forget Dorian. Leadership is very difficult. It's a challenging enterprise to undertake. At the family level, leadership is difficult. At the community level, leadership is difficult. At the church level, ask any church pastor, ask anyone in leadership in church. It's difficult. At the school level, leadership is difficult. At the business level, leadership is difficult. At the level of a nation or national undertakings, leadership is difficult. Why is leadership so difficult? Why is it so challenging? Because leadership is all about people, about human beings. And human beings are complex creatures, emotionally, intellectually, socially. We are complex creatures. We can, in one instant, have a certain attitude, think a certain way, believe a certain thing. And in one other instant, we can believe something entirely different, act entirely different, because we have the, we can ignore doing what we should do, meaning we don't know, we haven't any knowledge of it. We can neglect doing what we should do, meaning that we know what to do, but for some reason we were distracted or we forgot and we can therefore not do it, or we can reject doing the things we should do, meaning not only do we know what to do and not only do we not forget to do it, we just told you, man, the hell with you, I am not doing that. Or we mightn't even tell you, we might just not do it. Because human beings have the ability to ignore, to neglect, to reject, they can, because they have that choice and no one can stop them. You can't reach into the head of a human being. You can't reach into the brain of a human being and rewire their nerves in order to cause them to only do what you say. You can't do it. There are ways you can influence them, but you can't make them do anything. Because that is true, leading people becomes an especially difficult challenge. If it's an animal like a dog or a lion or a cat, you can use a series of threats and rewards to condition them to act a certain way. That's what training is. So the dog rolls, you give it a treat, and it thinks, okay, if I want another treat, let me roll. When they raise their hand and I roll, I get a treat. So the dog does that. You can teach pigeons to do that. You can teach all kinds of animals to do all kinds of tricks, but they're not acting intellectually. They're not acting as free will animals. Human beings are free will. So at work, the boss tells them to do something. They're supposed to do it a certain way and on time. Boom, you got issues. You could give them a recipe. I ran a restaurant. I ran a restaurant called Nays. I used to sell all kinds of tropical pancakes and waffles and crepes, etc. They are written down. Follow the recipe. I had a recipe for my lemonade. And some days I'd go inside the restaurant, drink the lemonade. I'd go like, who made this? I did. Did you follow the recipe? I get a big smile on my face. What did that mean? They didn't follow the recipe, but the recipe was right there. Human, leading human beings can be enormously challenging. Okay? Because of the reasons that I said. Now, here's what makes it even more complicated. The leader is himself or herself a human, and they have challenges too. They can wake up one morning and feel the greatest in the world and the best in the world and want to get it done. And then wake up next morning, feel like nothing, feel like nanny, feel like they're sick of people and so forth. And the next thing that impacts the way they can ignore and we neglect and reject doing things too. They can have limitations in their skills, limitations in their judgment. So now you have a combination of leaders and followers, all flawed, all faulty, all can be frustrated, all can be can demonstrate failings, and they have to come together to get things done. Oh my Lord. Add to that, Zach, the people who are being led are diverse people. Some of them, they have diversity of backgrounds. They have diversity of religious beliefs. They have diversity of beliefs. They have diversity of attitudes. They have a diversity of ethics. They have a diversity of work ethic. They have a diversity of values. They have a diversity of visions, they have a diversity of wants, they have a diversity of needs. Just on the basis of gender, there are diversity of hormonal balances that can impact upon behavior. And all these things in the pot when you lead. And then on top of all of that, they live in an environment that has cultural issues that impact upon the behavior of all the people involved. They have socioeconomic circumstances that impact upon the people involved. They have political differences that impacts upon the way people want to behave. They have environmental factors. They have climatic factors. They have international factors that impact upon all this. And in all of this, you come to lead a nation of diverse people. Just because we all call behemoths and we all act like the same thing. Just because many of us and most of us are black, don't mean we act the same way. Even within the white community, all of them don't act and think the same way. Just because they're all business people, don't mean they act and believe the same things. Just because they all call Christians, don't mean they believe and act the same way. There's just so many issues. Listen. So complicated and frustrating. They led God to destroy the whole world by flood and save 8 people. And another time, he was going to do it again, and Abraham had to persuade him, no, don't do that. He was mad. God was vexed. You listen to, read Dave, the Psalms and read Proverbs and listen to wisdom talk about how In the day of your calamity, I'm gonna laugh. Why? Because you didn't listen to me. Human beings are challenging to lead. So it is easy to be judgmental about people's leaders, ability, circumstances, when you've never walked there. And I'm not talking about you've never walked in leadership. You could walk in leadership. You ain't never been on. Okay? If I have never led a certain kind of organization, I might not know the nuances involved. Even though I know that there are some basic fundamental skills involved, I may not appreciate some of the nuances. Leading a technical organization, like for instance, one that develops software, is not the same as leading a car company. All right, there are some nuances involved, the kinds of people involved. So it's easy for us sometimes to become overly harsh about things that we haven't been able to know ourselves. And that's why I am often tickled when some of the current leaders in office who were, when they were out of office, expressed a certain kind of view toward things, only now to have them walk up to me and say to me, boy, why you didn't tell me? I wish I had known. And then all I can say is, no, I couldn't tell you because you wouldn't have believed me anyways. Just like a woman, like I said before, like a woman telling you that what pregnancy is like, she could try, but you ain't gonna get no sense of that till you get there. There are some family right now who were particularly harsh toward leadership, political leadership when they were out of office. Particularly harsh. Some wrote scathing, rigorous indictments of leadership. Now, life is different. You know, in recent times, and this is the God honest truth, in recent times, I have been able, to understand this notion than I ever understood it from a personal point of view. You know that saying, never judge a man or a woman, for that matter, until you've walked a mile. I've come to see that. I've come to see that as important. And even if you can't walk a mile in their shoes, trying to at least put yourself in their shoes mentally as much as possible gives you a certain bit of empathy. Empathy is to suffer with, to suffer alongside, to try and feel what somebody else feels, because it's important to tempering what could be sometimes less than reasonable and reasoned evaluation of things. So leadership is hard, but if you sign on for it and you don't understand the challenge of it, then it was your fault that you had. Okay, if you sat out there thinking it's so easy, well, if Ingram could do it, I could do it. If Christy could do it, I could do it. If Finland could do it, I could do it. If that's how you felt and didn't try to understand the weightiness of it and the great challenge of it, then you can't blame anybody for fouling it up because you didn't adequately prepare. And that wouldn't be new, you know. According to the Bible, for those who believe, Lucifer sat in heaven, looked at God and said, you know what, I could do that. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our discussions. We'll be back after this break.
Take a stand, everybody.
Have you taken a look at those investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, nails, and that's all before 12. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best Bahamian and international investments so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
Hospitals are collapsing. Doctors say our healthcare system is past the breaking point. Nurses disrespected. Not enough beds or resources. Now, this government failed to disclose who's really benefiting from millions in COVID contracts. Hiding who profits from travel visas, from food assistance, from COVID testing fees. So while healthcare collapsed, who got rich? The FNM can't fix the crisis. They are the crisis.
This has been a paid political announcement by the PLP.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you can join us today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon, where we spend some time evaluating today the leader of the Free National Movement, the Dr. Hubert Alexander Minnis. Let me tell you all something so you all would know. You all realize and know that I served with Dr. Minnis in the cabinet of the Bahamas for 5 years, right? Y'all do know that. Okay. And I was Minister of State for Finance. So practically every Tuesday God sent for 5 years, he and I and others gathered at the cabinet. Okay? We had occasion to listen to each other, banter with each other, and so forth. We had occasion to interact on many occasions outside of cabinet. So I know a bit about Dr. Hubert Minnis. I have interacted with him since he became prime minister. Okay. And so, and let me say that whenever I have had cause to speak with, engage with the prime minister, it has always been cordial. We have had differences perhaps of views, but it's always been cordial. We've never had any disparaging, difficult, disrespectful interjection and so forth. My views about the prime minister's leadership were expressed before elections, so and in the open. So there's been no secrets about that. And I happen to believe that minister has, under very difficult circumstances, demonstrated a stability and a calm and a stick to the task approach. I think that he has done, and his government has done, some very good things, whether it relates to improvements in crime, improvements in the availability of scholarships for Bahamian young people at home or abroad, whether it relates to the funding of entrepreneurs and those kinds of things, or it relates to some reforms that we started and they continued in finance, or related to a path we were on in respect of fiscal performance and economic performance prior to the pandemic, and whether it relates to some parts of the handling of the pandemic. I think they've done some good things. I also think they've done some things that are not commendable, right? And so, in that regard, I think the failing to observe there were some easy wins that they could have picked up early, like the promises about the term limits and the ombudsman and the Freedom of Information Act. And, you know, I think those things could have been early victories. I think that there have been failings in terms of aggressively pursuing foreign direct investment, which is a huge and important catalyst to economic growth in the country, by not moving about the world and positioning our missions abroad to be effective by that and so forth. Now, in the later days, they're now talking about Invest Bahamas. And so that, you know, that's a move in that direction, but it should have been done earlier. You know, the VAT raising, I thought was a mistake. In a struggling economy, I thought it was a mistake. Yeah, you get lots of revenue, but you extract from the economy monies that could have generated more economic activity. So I thought it was a mistake. So there have been successes and failings. Now, I am going to be doing an assessment of the FNM's manifesto promises against the achievements later on. Okay, so
I don't have anything personal against the prime minister or any member of his team. I can't tell you what that their views are towards me, and nor do I care. Because that doesn't matter to being able to, as fairly as possible, assess what it is that I see. And so, you know, I don't, and I acknowledge that anytime you speak things critically of anyone, including myself, we're not going to take that too lightly. We're not going to like that, and I understand that. But when you speak favorably about people, they like that, you know. But on the show, at least, we are trying to do as fair a job as we can. So, for instance, tomorrow when we do our evaluation of Mr. Davis, I hope the people who listen, remember the clip. You know, if you take the clip and you say, oh, we can listen to Lang now because Lang is speaking favorably of Mr. Davis's affability, right? Which is mostly what I talked about, the way he is as a person, okay? And what is affability? Affability is a quality of being friendly and good-natured. I would challenge anybody to tell me that Ray Davis is not a friendly, good-natured person, seemingly, right? So that's what I talked about. But remember that when I say other things that you say, well, you only been an F&M. Oh, I've been an F&M today. All right? So, you know, you have to try and be fair in these assessments. And I have knowledge, I've worked with Dr. Minnis over the years. And Dr. Minnis came to the attention of the public largely because he was an outstanding, and I listen to the word, outstanding, meaning he stood out among members of parliament. There's no question about that. His use of technology in his constituency, his ability to keep in touch with his constituents, it was impressive. The things that he did to reflect his representation of that particular area was impressive. There's no question about it, okay? I did in my constituency, like a little community center with lending library and computer programming. I did scholarships and these kinds of things, and I did that. But the level of technological usage to continuously be in touch with constituents was really embarrassing for someone who was as young as I was relative to him. And whether that was him personally or not, the fact that he was able to see that as an opportunity and to effectively let it roll out in his constituency spoke wonders to him, and he stood out for that reason. And I remembered when people started writing about him and saying maybe he could be considered for leadership and so forth and so forth and what have you. And I remembered seeing him up close begin to respond to those things. But I also saw other parts of him in terms of his performance and leadership and what have you. So I was able to evaluate that based on my being up close. And today I hear people who say, boy, you said so, you told us, et cetera. And I said, well, hey, I'm like my mother. I'm not given to sitting around talking about people. I'm not. I don't get any enjoyment from it, et cetera. But if in the course of a dialogue you ask me, I give you an evaluation, and it only could be an evaluation based on experience most times. Otherwise, all I'm doing is talking just like everybody else, my opinion, which could be foolish or not, or something, you know? If you, to know is to have experienced. So to say you know someone is to have experienced a level of interaction with them that it allows you to observe patterns of behavior that you can come to suggest represents their pattern of behavior. Yeah. And time does that. If you have enough time to work with people, you can observe and see things. All right? These evaluations, even based on some of that, these based on my observation of his conduct while now Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas and leader of the Free National Movement. This text says, good day, Mr. Lang. Happy birthday. May God bless you with many more birthdays. Great show as usual. I believe your assessment of Dr. Minnis is fair, as your show depicts you as a fair-minded individual. Moreover, the examples you gave as to why you gave certain grades were clear and couldn't be argued with. The biggest room in the world is for self-improvement. None of us have ever will arrive. There is always room to grow. That is a very great, good statement. Very good statement. Thank you very much. That's really good. That's the key. And that's what I'm going to talk about. Is these things offer us room for improvement. That's everything, you know, offers us room. Says great analysis. So would love to get a copy. Be prepared to hear the screams tomorrow. Of course. Of course. Let me tell you something. You don't decide to come on these shows. You don't decide to get involved with political life. You don't decide to take on leadership if you're thin-skinned. Right? If you cowardly, don't do this kind of stuff, man. Because it's it for the fate of I. Says, happy birthday, Mr. Lang. Enjoy. I'm just tuning in. Okay, thank you very much. Appreciate that. Thank you. This text says, good afternoon. Happy birthday. I'd love to have a copy of your evaluation. Sure. No problem at all. Happy to give it. That's my way. Enjoy many, many days, months, and years of wealth. Thank you very much. That's my auntie. My mommy have some good brothers and sisters, man. My uncle Prince, say happy birthday. That's the one day that I look like. thank you very much to all of you. Listen, we're going to take our final break. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Chicago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this final news, this final break.
Summer is heating up, and Burger King Nassau is bringing the flavor. Introducing our all-new take on a classic chicken sandwich, the Barbecue Swiss Crispy King. Our new sandwich is full of smoky and tangy flavor and features our crispy chicken patty with tangy chipotle sauce, onion rings, bacon, Swiss cheese, lettuce, and tomato, plus a smoky barbecue sauce on a soft new Barbecue Swiss Crispy King chicken sandwich with fries and a Pepsi is a summer treat you will love to eat, but only available for a limited time and only at Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
Sheila, you okay? I see smoke coming from your window.
Chad, Johnny Moe's burning down the house frying chicken.
Your kitchen is a mess. You have insurance?
If I have insurance, I pulled my phone out, pulled up the Royal Star Assurance app, and in no time, I was on live chat with RSA rep, sent pics of the damage, filed my claim on the spot.
Wow, I don't think my insurance got that kind of
app. You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
Nassau, Rolling Red is your next stop. It's a drive-in rally this Tuesday, the 7th of September at the QE Sports Center. 6 to 8 p.m. Stay in your car and truck, or on top of your car or truck. Live entertainment featuring Christian Massett, Najee Dunn, and DJ Tang. All safety protocols will be observed. So let's roll red. Then watch us live on social media sites or the rebroadcast on ZNS, R News, and Eyewitness, 8 to 10 p.m.
This has been a paid political announcement from the Free National Movement.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid, to take a stand, everybody, come take my hand, we'll walk this road together, through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone, I'll if you feel like you let me do it, same foolish.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabar Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 for this remainder of the show. If you want, in the last minute of this, give us a call. You are free to do so on any of the following numbers. You can call us on 323
323-6232. That's 323-6232. Or you can call us on, I don't know why I'm hearing some kind of feedback or something. You can call us on 325-4316, 325-4316, or 325-4259, that's 325-4259. So let's recap. We've been doing an evaluation of the leader of the Free National Movement, Dr. Hubert Alexander Minnis. We will do a similar evaluation of Mr. Brave Davis, the leader of the Progressive Liberal Party, tomorrow. We scored on a scale from 1 to 10, 10 category leadership skills: vision, direction, setting, communication, strategy, strategizing and planning, decision-making, problem-solving, conflict resolution, unifying, interpersonal or diplomatic skills, ethics, work ethic, and flexibility and adaptability. And out of a total score of 100, Dr. Minnis achieved, by me, not anybody else, Bleem Shabaru Sean, like a score of 58. This text says, good evening, Mr. Lang, and happy birthday to you. Great evaluation, but I believe you're being a bit generous in several areas. It would have been great if you would have included maturity and basing this on how the two former PMs was treated during the aftermath of Hurricane Dorian. Okay, first of all, thank you. But you, I wouldn't have used maturity, because maturity is what we call a composite characteristic, right? It composite meaning you can't say a person is mature and you point to one thing. Maturity has to do with your handling of your own self, your intrapersonal skills. It has to do with your dealing with your relationships with other people, your interpersonal skills. It has to do with your conflict resolution skills. It has to do with your ability to make judgments and all these kind of to show discretion. So there's no one thing. A lot of the things that I mentioned would be a part of a mature or not a part of an immature person's description as to their level of maturity. And so, no, I would not have had any category called maturity. How do you measure it? What do you look for? You indicated that how he handled the former PMs. Okay. And that alone becomes a question of evaluating me. So if I mishandle a relationship here, but in the course of my lifetime continue to handle relationships better, I'm immature. An immature person cannot, on one instance, demonstrate a lack of judgment. Mm-hmm. This text says, I think Dr. Minnis is a perfect example of the Peter principle. He was an excellent MP, but not so much PM. The Peter principle, eh? So you think that's what he, and you know, some people do indicate that, you can flourish at one level of leadership and then at another level of leadership, a higher level, not flourish. That is true. That's possible. This text says, how can you compare a non-prime minister, a leader of a major project, will have a much harder challenge in making decision-making? Now, here is where I'm sorry, you are dead wrong, okay? Because I'm not evaluating prime minister. I'm evaluating your leadership ability. So here's what has to happen. I evaluate Dr. Minnis's leadership ability as leader of the FNM, and as prime minister. I will evaluate Mr. Davis as leader of the PLP. So is Dr. Minnis a leader of a party. Evaluate Mr. Davis in terms of his leadership displayed when he was deputy prime minister. Because leadership isn't about where you lead. It's about your leadership skills. I'm happy you mentioned that, because it just shows me that we need to make sure that people can understand leadership better. And so, no, that's like saying to me, I can't evaluate somebody who is a pastor as a leader and somebody who's a prime minister as a leader because they're two different posts. That's nonsense. That's absolute nonsense, because can a pastor have great communication skills and a prime minister? I'm sorry, my friend. You need to do a little bit more work to help yourself understand the nature of leadership. Okay? Just kindly forward the leadership analysis also. Yes, I'm going to try to remember to send it to all of you. So, finally, let me say, in having undertaken this exercise, So this text says, "Happy birthday, Mr. Lang. I believe your assessment is very generous. Nevertheless, I respect it from your brother, from another mother." Yeah, of course, you know, but again, why wouldn't it be generous to some folks, right? When you sit in a certain place where you favor a certain outcome, when you sit in a certain place where you may not regard a person, then it's my evaluation. Do your own. And you may get a different set of evaluations, right? But one other thing I could say is I didn't sit here and emotionally think this thing up here and not try to evidence my soundings and so forth. Okay? So I'm happy to hear your own evaluation, but guess what? You are not going to be allowed to come to me and tell me, well, I think you should get a low score of this, and not say why. You're not going to be able to do that. No FNM candidate, no PLP candidate, no DNA candidate, or any other candidate or leader is going to be able to come to me and say, but Lang, you should just believe this because I say so. I don't operate that way. So, fine. If you have a different view, you have a different view. I respect that. It's no problem. Finally, let me say that leadership, if anybody comes to you and says, and somebody alluded to this earlier, if anybody comes to you and says that I have arrived as a leader, you tell them, you run away from them real quick. Run away from them real quick. So it would be like saying, I've arrived as a human being in terms of what a human being should be in perfection. Nonsense. Okay? Leadership, like human beings, is an evolving reality. And you grow in your leadership. And over time, you get strong in some areas, you get strong in other areas. If you're not careful, you can get weaker in areas over time. So leadership is a growth process. I don't know anyone who I could evaluate in leadership and think, and they would score in the high 80s, 90s. I don't know anyone. Right now, today, I don't know anyone who I would say, if I scored myself in terms of these same things, I would be lucky if I hit a 70 in my own understanding of myself, right? So you would demonstrate to me a level of naivety to think that this is something too so easy to get a 90 on, even a high 80 on. You would, because it would mean to me you don't understand leadership. You don't. It would also mean to me that you are not even willing to assess your own self in leadership or people close to you in leadership and say, you know what? Yeah, that's a tough one to get a really, really high score on, you know. Right? Be around the place here, so be selecting leaders. You want to tell what you really think about the people you running on for leadership? Ask yourself if you would hire them territory. Costco. If I had a business that was a $1 billion, $2 billion corporation, would I hire them to run the business? Well, frankly, running a business is easier than running a country. The issues are much less complicated. So if you wouldn't get them to run your business, the reality is we only have the choices we have. So, you know, it's like if it's only three workers and you got to hire two and none of them all that good, what choice do you have? You have to hire them and hope for the best, train for the best. Well, we have what we have. Either they are very good or not so good, but they are what we have. There are no other choices. You can't go beyond the offerings. The nominations are set. You have the choices you have. So you have, if you had to make a choice for your private business, your private country, ask yourself, would you pick them? I don't know. I'm only asking you. That's how you tell what you really think. Not when you then dive in, because where you stand oftentimes depends on where you sit in this world. I've been in politics long enough to know that. One day you're on the podium, rah-rah for this one. Next day on the podium, you rah-rah for this one. Because sometimes your mind changes to what? And that impacts how you see the world. How you see things. There's no question in my mind that how I see leadership is impacted by having worked with Hubert Ingraham. Having been mentored by Miles Monroe. Having had a deep grounding in Christian principles. It affects how I evaluate leadership. Does that mean that it's right? No, it doesn't mean that's right. It just means that's how I'm affected. And if you are F&M today, you may see the leadership of the F&M one way, just as there are F&Ms today who are in opposition to Hubert Alexander Ingraham, who assess his leadership differently than they did some other time ago. Right? When he was chairman of BLB. And there are people who are PLPs today who assess Brad Davis's leadership differently than they may have done a time ago. Because where we are, where we stand, sometimes impacts the positions we take. All right? But today, 58 of 100, talk to Hubert Minnis. It's Shivago's score, nobody else's. You've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us today. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. Now, Haja Black is up next. Sports First Live.
Take a stand, everybody.
Z Live Off the Record with Shivago Lang is sponsored by Burger King, the Progressive Liberal Party, Royal Fidelity Bank and Trust, Royal Star Assurance, and the Free National Movement.